A number of veterans organizations are suing Veterans Affairs over a new rule regarding disability claims. The rule only went into effect a couple of weeks ago, but the lawsuit claims it's eliminated most informal VA claims and limits the types of claims VAs can adjudicate. Now, one change means letters written into VA no longer count as claims. Now everything has to be on a standardized form. Joining me with more on this lawsuit and the ramifications is Ron Abrams. He's a former VA staff member and now the Joint Executive Director of the National Veterans Legal Services Program. Ron, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
All right. So let's start with reviewing what it is VA is doing now and how it's different from what they did before the end of March.
Well, I should tell you, I've been doing this for over 40 years. And for more than 40 years, the VA has always permitted a veteran to write a letter and say, I'm service-connected for a left knee condition. I'd like an increase in that condition. It's gotten worse. And that's all the veteran would have to do. Now, with these new changes, that letter would not constitute a claim. A veteran who wrote in, I want service connection for a left knee condition, that would not constitute a claim. And the practical effect would be those veterans would not get benefits if they were eventually granted from the date of receipt by the VA of their letter. The VA would only write them a letter back and tell them there are so many ways to file a claim, but writing a letter doesn't count. And we find that to be unfair. It's changing the rules in midstream, and frankly, it violates the informal, non-adversarial claims process that the VA is supposed to run.
So instead now, veterans have to submit a standardized form?
That or they can go online and use the form there, and if that doesn't, they also have the opportunity to file a form called an intent to file a claim. They could do that, which won't count as a claim, but will give them a year to file their claim, which doesn't change much because if the veteran were to have submitted a claim, let's say for compensation, service connection, the veteran would have a year from the date the VA wrote them a letter asking for information. And finally, they could call the VA, and if they get a VA employee who is designated to take such claims over the phone, that would count too. What this really adversely affects are people who are not totally in touch with the Internet. The VA has indicated that they want people more and more to use the Internet to file claims. But many veterans are over age 60. Many people over that age are not comfortable with the Internet, or they just don't have access to it. So we're hurting those people in the main.
But if you were to use, a veteran was to use a paper form now instead of a letter, does the form allow someone to say, you know, the reason I'm applying for an increase is a worsening in my knee condition that's service disabled? What's the practical difference between that form and a letter?
The only practical difference is the VA gets not to count that as a claim. So when it comes back, when they report numbers to Congress, they can show that there were fewer claims and therefore their backlog is less. They can also show that it takes them less time to adjudicate claims. These are what we call phony statistics, using the logic employed by the people in Orwell's book, 1984. A claim is not a claim. It's really fairly specious.
Well, so what does the form look like? In other words, what can a person no longer do on a form that they could do in a letter, I guess is what I'm driving at?
Well, they could do anything they can do, and they can do anything on the form that they can do in a letter. We're not fighting the fact that the VA wants a form. What we are fighting is the fact that the letter doesn't count as a marker to hold the effective date. That costs the veteran money. If the VA wants to waste its time and send out unnecessary forms, not in all cases, but in some cases, we're not going to micromanage them in that respect. But when they tell many people, you're going to lose money because we think it's more efficient and we want to show better statistics, then it's unfair and we have to do something about it.
So your lawsuit then would do what?
What it would do would be to revoke or change the way the VA is currently set up to deny veterans effective dates based on informal claims. It'll go back to the old system. If the veteran communicates reasonably that they want service connection or they want an increase, it'll count as a claim, which is what it has always been. And frankly, it'll cut out a step in the process. Here's what happened under the old rule. A veteran would write a letter. The VA would correctly interpret it as a claim, let's say, for service connection for a knee condition. Let's assume the veteran already has filed many claims. The VA wouldn't send them back a form. They would ask the veteran where he or she has been treated, and they may or may not, after reviewing the service medical records, set up a VA examination. Today, all that will wait until the VA sends a letter to the veteran saying, gotcha, you didn't file the right form. Now you have to file the right form for us to pay any attention to you. In the meantime, the veteran's application or claim, which is not a claim, doesn't count as from when the VA can pay benefits. It isn't fair. And by the way, there's no rule. They made a lot of rules, but they didn't say how quickly the VA would have to respond to the letter from the veteran.
We're speaking with Ron Abrams. He's the Joint Executive Director of the National Veterans Legal Services Program and a former VA staff member. And so I guess my question then is, how, in your experience with veterans you're dealing with these days, how aware are they of this no more letter rule and the need to get to the internet, if that's what it takes to or get to a VA facility and take a form? Or I guess you can print the forms off the internet, which gets you back there. How aware are people of this change?
Not as aware as any reasonable person would like. Over the past year, I've spent much time with the American Legion that has a wonderful outreach program where they set up in a city, sometimes at a VA medical center, and we get to talk to veterans one-on-one and help them with their benefit claims. Many of these vets have no clue as to even what they are getting or what was denied, let alone what form to use. It's fairly shocking.
I guess
so. They need all the help that they can get. And the VA, which has been on paper a paternalistic agency or department, should continue to do what it did in the past.
So it sounds like your feeling is that the VA is doing all of this change in response to the waiting times issue and also the disability claims backlog that's been bedeviling it for quite some time.
I'm sure there are some people at the VA who sincerely believe the best way to go here is to force people into the internet, and they think that'll help more people than it'll hurt. But I'm also sure that many people in the VA are taking a cynical look at this and are trying to achieve better performance statistics without really improving performance. I should mention there's another part to this bill about inferred claims. In the old days when I was rating cases for the VA, when I was checking on the quality of work for the VA, it was clear that if you were a VA rater, someone who made decisions to either grant or deny benefits at a VA regional office. There are about 58 of those. That your job was to review the entire file and get to the veteran all the benefits that the veteran was entitled to, whether or not the veteran specifically claimed them. And I can tell you, during the course of my career with the VA, I made several phone calls where we told people, sit down, you're going to get a check for several hundred thousand dollars because we, the VA, failed to acknowledge a certain issue. You don't know anything about it, but we were supposed to pay you. We didn't, and a check is in the mail. This bill turns that on its head and says that unless the issue not specifically claimed is part of the claim, is linked to the specific claim, the VA has every right to ignore that particular issue. So, for example, first I'll give you an easy one, then I'll give you one that'll shock you. If somebody had an ulcer condition but didn't claim it, but claimed something else, let's say a skin condition, but the current evidence of record shows he suffers from a duodenal ulcer, and he was diagnosed with a duodenal ulcer in service, the VA would ignore that. But even more shocking, suppose somebody lost both their legs in combat. They have no legs below the knee, which, by the way, is worth over $3,500 a month in payments. If the veteran didn't specifically claim his or her legs or lack of them, but simply claimed a skin condition, the VA wouldn't have to pay them for the loss of their legs. And these vets think, well, I'm getting treated at the VA Medical Center. I don't have to mention it. They already know it.
So the incentive then is for these deciders to overlook what they might see in plain language in front of them in the veteran's record.
Yes, and it simply shortens the time they have to work on the case.
And so is that change also part of the lawsuit that your group has launched?
Yes.
All right, so any response yet from VA to you, or is it all in lawyers' hands?
It's way too soon.
All right, well, we'll have to check back with you after this proceeds a little bit through the process. Ron Abrams is former VA staff member, now the Joint Executive Director of the National Veterans Legal Services Program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.